Luke chapter 2, verse 41 to 52, and it's a story about Jesus's childhood. So Mary, we're going to try and come to you now.
Every year, Jesus's parents went to Jerusalem for the festival of Passover. When he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. And after the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem, but they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. When they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. After 3 days, they found him in the temple courts, sitting among the teachers, listening to them and asking them questions. Everyone who heard him was amazed at his understanding and his answers. When his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." "Why were you searching for me?" he asked. "Didn't you know that I had to be in my father's house?" But they did not understand what he was saying to them. Then he went down to Nazareth with them and was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favour with God and man.
Thank you, Mary. Great. So I'm sure many of you have heard that story before, and it'll be one that will be familiar to you. And most of us could probably tell lots of stories about our own childhood or our children's childhood. Maybe it was a bit difficult then when I split you into groups because you're trying to think of it on the spot quickly. And there wasn't much time for everyone to be able to share anyway. But we all have lots of stories as we think back, like I said, good and bad, that we might share together. If I asked you if you'd like to hear some stories about Jesus's childhood, I bet the answer would be yes, we'd love to hear more stories about Jesus. And it does seem strange that we've only really, apart from his birth in two of the Gospels, got this one story here. When actually, there was many stories around about Jesus's childhood. So why? Why is that that we only get this one story when there were so many being told? And you can pick them up in other bits of literature and so on. Well, I don't know the answer to that, but the fact is, it's the only one, and it's not the most amazing one. There's far more amazing ones out there if you read about them. I mean, this isn't one of them, okay, but you could make them up. It's kind of like Jesus one day seeing his mum and just thinking she needed cheering up and reaching out his hand and a bunch of flowers appearing and giving it her. Or a boy running past him that bangs into him, and as he runs past, Jesus turns around and says something to him, and he drops dead because he bumped into Jesus. The stories were that kind of crazy, just different stories that were being created, and some a lot weirder than that. So why not include one of those if any of them actually happened? Well, I think that the fact that this story isn't the most amazing one, and sometimes people read it and think, oh, Jesus wasn't very nice to his parents then. They must have been really worried, and he kind of doesn't seem to bother about them. Why put this in there? What that says to me, and I said to other people when they've looked at this, is there must be something in this story. It must be authentic, and it must be significant. The people who put the Bible together, the different stories together, were looking for evidence, good, strong evidence, that the story was authentic, that it, with all the stories that are in the Gospels, that there was enough evidence from the earliest manuscripts and so on. And they obviously thought that this one stood out more so than any of the others. Luke had done his homework. He probably got this story from Mary herself. And I don't know, maybe Jesus's childhood had been pretty normal up to this point. It doesn't say anything, so we don't really know. but he's now 12 years old, and it was possibly Jesus's first trip to Jerusalem. Again, we don't know if he went up before that, but it was usual that it was a significant time when a Jewish boy was 12 that he would travel to Jerusalem just before his 13th birthday. And there's some people who speculate Jesus may have had his 13th birthday while he was actually in Jerusalem at the Feast of Passover, but that's speculative. But he went up there at that age, and there was genuine interest from Jesus of what was being taught, and from the leaders to hear from Jesus as he sat with them in the temple and asked questions, and they were learning from each other. Jesus would have been taught the law and would have been learning it for a long time. And here he was reasoning with them, questioning them, debating with them, and showing a real interest in it. And they were showing interest in him. There was genuine surprise from his parents when they, although they taught him well, that he would do this to them. But Jesus was surprised that they would be surprised that he would be there in the temple talking this way with the people. Why was that? Well, Jesus was 12 years old. He was now considered to be moving into adulthood. And it's at this time when his mom comes to him and says, your father and I have been searching for you all over. And Jesus's reply is interesting and significant. He says, did you not know that I would be in my father's house? Now get this, Jesus's mum is saying, your father's been searching for you. And Jesus said, I was in my father's house. There's a significant transition taking place here from where Jesus has identified with his earthly father in a significant way, and now is at the age of 12, as he comes into adulthood, is turning that to say, now the will of my heavenly father is uppermost in my mind. This is a transition to my following my father, my heavenly father. It doesn't mean he wasn't doing it before, but as he comes into adulthood, maybe there's a realization here at this age, as he's been brought to this point when he has to own the law for himself and take responsibility for himself now as a Jewish boy in following God's ways, that he's doing that and acknowledging before his parents that he knows who he is. He knows now who his heavenly father is, and he knows what his mission is and where he's going to be going. And he's letting his parents know that as well. Authentic because of that significance as well, but also the further significance. His mum's been searching for him anxiously. Anxiously, the word is, the word that's used is odinomini, which is in verse 48, that which is anxiously searched. And that anxiously is in pain searching for him, is so kind of wound up by the whole situation. And she was doing that for 3 days. And Jesus then says, it's okay. I was in my father's house. It's okay. That deep mental anguish and pain was to be experienced by Mary again, 21 years later, when Jesus was on the cross, when he died. And for 3 days, Mary would have experienced that same pain and anguish of loss and grief. And Jesus had been saying all along before it happened, and when he returned, would say it again, it's okay, I'm with my father. This was meant to be. Simeon had told Mary in that same chapter, Luke chapter 2, verse 35, a sword will pierce your soul. And it did for 3 days when Jesus got lost in the temple. When they lost Jesus and he was in the temple, and then when he died. Was this in some way a foreshadow of what was going to happen to Jesus and the pain and anguish that Mary would feel 21 years later through Jesus' death and resurrection? Missing for 3 days then as 12, as he makes that transition to following the will of his heavenly father. And they now realize his call and ministry must come before his family. And it sets the scene for Jesus' adult ministry as the Son of God, which begins in the very next verse after this story in chapter 3, 18 years later in Jesus' life. So that's a bit of significance of the story, a bit of understanding about what was happening here in Bible terms, in the big picture of the gospel and the life of Jesus. But what I want to do for the second part of this message this morning is look at a reflection, really, a devotional reflection on what walking with Jesus can be like. So we're going to go through the story again for this second part, and we're going to look at it in a different way. We're going to look at it in a way of what it's like walking with Jesus. So I'll take the Bible again. If you've got the passage, you can follow it through with me. And I'll just read the first part of that again. Every year, Jesus' parents, this is chapter 2, verse 41, went to Jerusalem for the festival of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to the festival according to the custom. So Jesus' parents walked to the Passover each year. The journey from Nazareth to Jerusalem would take about 3 days to do altogether, and then 3 days back again afterwards. Did Jesus ever go before he was 12 years old? I don't know. I've actually tried to look and find this out, and there's different opinions about it. He may have done, he may not, but certainly the 12-year-old would be a significant one, according to the customs and so on. But this time anyway, they left without Jesus on the way home again. They lost him, in effect. Verse 43. After the festival was over, while his parents were returning home, the boy Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem. But they were unaware of it. Thinking he was in their company, they travelled on for a day. They didn't notice they were walking without Jesus. And they walked a whole day without Jesus before they realized. They'd done this journey many times before, and Jesus was a good lad, and if he had been with them before, then he'd know the journey anyway. And if he hadn't, they knew he was a good lad, and he'd be around with family and friends in the caravan of people anyway. He was always with them somewhere. He'd never done anything like this before, so they just presumed he'd be there. And if they did notice, they didn't really worry about it because, or see the need to do anything about it, because they just presumed that he was somewhere. So they carry on as normal, thinking anyway, they'd easily get him back later if he was further down in the caravan somewhere with other people. I wonder if we ever stray from Jesus, if we ever lose the closeness of relationship with Jesus and we haven't noticed, or if we have noticed, we're not quite as close as we have been previously. We don't mind as much because we think, you know, we can always get Jesus back later. We can always get closer to him again later. We know he's around. He doesn't leave us, does he? He's around. So we can always draw closer to him again a bit later. The fact that we've strayed a bit from Jesus at the moment doesn't really matter. I think sometimes we don't notice, and sometimes we have noticed, but we're not that worried about it. Let's carry on just reading here. Then they began looking for him among their relatives and friends. And when they did not find him, they went back to Jerusalem to look for him. Well, they began to panic and worry set in at that point when they realized he wasn't with them and they hadn't seen him for a whole day. I think I've told this story before in our church, but I do remember a time when we lost our daughter Beth. We were on holiday in Spain, and Beth was only young, and we had two daughters, and we Amy and Beth, and we told them to go and sit on a bench while we got them an ice cream, and it was my job to sit on the bench with them, and Sandra was going to get the ice creams. And so Sandra went off to get them, and when I turned, one of the girls said she wanted a lolly instead of an ice cream. So I called out to Sandra to tell her, but she couldn't quite hear me. So I just stepped a few paces towards her and said to the children, just sit on that bench there, because we were on the way to it anyway. Just sit on that bench there. It won't be a minute. And I turned around to Sandra, just stepped a few spaces to tell her, and she heard me. And then I turned around again, and there was Amy sat on the bench, and Beth was nowhere to be seen. And I started looking around, and I couldn't see her anywhere. And then I called Sandra to come out the line. Sandra, I've lost Beth. I don't know where she is. She said, well, what were you doing? I said, well, I told them just sit on the bench, and she's gone, but I can't see her anywhere. And we were in a big mall, a big open, it was open air, and a big kind of pedestrianised bit, with people walking everywhere. And Amy sat on the bench, and Beth was nowhere to be seen. She was, I can't remember how old she was, to be honest, but she must have been about 3 or something. She was very young. Sandra will tell me after. And she disappeared. And we looked, I looked everywhere, Sandra looked. We told Amy, just wait there. We kept an eye on Amy, but just wait there. And we're looking around, couldn't find her. Then we got Amy by the hand, and we're walking with her, and we're going around everywhere. We couldn't find Beth anywhere. It seemed like a whole day. It was actually only about 3 minutes or something, 3 or 4 minutes. And we found Beth just round the corner, sat on the bench, waiting for us. I said, go to the bench and sit. And Amy had gone straight there. And Beth must have got distracted and wandered a bit and then turned around and saw the bench and gone and sat on it. And she was just sat around the corner. But for that few minutes, for that very short time, the horror of that, the anguish, the pain, you can imagine, it was pretty awful. And this anguish that his parents felt, the word that's used, like I said before, odinomani, means that anguish and pain that they felt with losing Jesus and thinking, where can he be? It's an awful place to be, walking without Jesus. It can be an awful place to be. And I think, moving away from just ourselves for a moment, but I think there are a lot of people that are in the world today that have real anguish and pain because they're not walking with Jesus. They don't know what it is to know the peace and the security of being in relationship with God and having salvation through Jesus. They need to know Jesus, and they need to be walking with him. And if nothing drives us more to want to share the news about Jesus and point people to where he is, to connect them with him again, it should be the realization of what that can be like for people who don't have that hope and that assurance and that security that we who have found Jesus can very often take for granted. There are so many hurting people in the world. And so, some of us sometimes, when we know we've strayed from Jesus, also feel the guilt of that, like I felt the guilt of losing my daughter on that occasion. We feel the guilt of not being with Jesus, the worry, the sadness of that as well. Well, they went back to where they last remembered being with Jesus, which was Jerusalem. Only Jerusalem was a big place, of course. They had to make the move. They had to go to find him again. They had to put themselves out and go against the caravan, the flow of people, to go and find Jesus. But they were desperate. They had to find him again. And if you're not walking close to Jesus now, if you realize that you've strayed a bit from Jesus, you've not really been as close as you should be with him, I would say to you, can you remember a time when you were? And if you can remember a time when you were closer to him, then be determined to strive again to go back to find him again. And if that was a significant time when you were praying somewhere, if that was a time when you can think in your life, go back to that, whether in your mind or physically, and try and reconnect with Jesus again. Because he is there, and we need to make the move, even if that's difficult. At first, they looked for him in all the wrong places. They looked among friends. They looked in the city. The people often try and find that security and that peace in the wrong places. Yeah, they do. They spent a day looking in the city for him. They traveled a day going out. They'd realized they weren't with Jesus. They took a day to get back to Jerusalem again. And then they spent a whole day in the city, which is why it was 3 days that they weren't with Jesus, that they'd said to him later, "We've been looking for you for 3 days." And some look to try and find the way, the truth, and the life in the world. They don't look to the church for answers. Why not? Well, that's a question that it's worth us all thinking about, and how we can make people realize that we do have answers to offer. But then he taught his, then some tried to find Jesus outside the church, and some try to live the Christian life alone. They don't think they need to connect with and find Jesus in the church. They don't think they're going to find him in the church. They search in other ways. I've even, there's books out there that say, you don't need church. You can do Christianity yourself and just with some friends or whatever. Well, it's true. The church is not anything to do with a physical building. We've found that now. It's to do with people, but it is people connecting together. Christianity was never meant to be done on our own. It was meant to be done in community together. And Jesus can be found in believers coming together. There's something special about that. We shouldn't underestimate it. And so they found Jesus in the church, listening to teaching, asking questions and discussing it with others, learning together with other believers. And he continued to do this all of his life. He didn't give up on going to the temple. He didn't give up on meeting together with other believers. Jesus did this all his life. And 20 years later, we see him in Luke chapter 21, verse 37. And there he is again, reasoning with the religious leaders, debating with them, discussing scripture with them. This was a practice Jesus continued throughout his ministry. And then he taught his disciples to do the same. And he taught them to carry on meeting together. And he taught the early church to do the same. And Paul did the same. And Jesus can still be found with people meeting together today. Well, let's move on to the next verse here. So everyone who heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when his parents, this is verse 48, when his parents saw him, they were astonished. His mother said to him, "Son, why have you treated us like this? Your father and I have been anxiously searching for you." There's that word. Anxiously, painfully searching for you. And Jesus says, "Why were you searching for me? Didn't you know I had to be in my father's house?" But they didn't understand what he was saying to them. They tried to blame Jesus at first. Did you notice that? They tried to blame Jesus at first for leaving them. "Why did you go and give us all this worry?" they say to Jesus. And many of us as parents can identify with that. When I got Beth and saw her again, I said, "Darling, where did you go? Why are you around here?" It was as though I was kind of putting the guilt on her. It was her fault. She'd left me. She hadn't gone to where I thought she should be. But Beth hadn't done anything wrong. I should have been watching better. I should have been more aware of where she was. And we often try and blame Jesus when we drift from him. But usually it's something that's distracted us. It's something that's taken us away from him. It could be sin. It could be other things going on around us in our life, or whatever it is. But it's usually we need to look to ourselves, because he's not left us. We've left him. And Jesus says, "I've been here all the time. I've been here all the time." And Jesus promises he'll never leave us or forsake us. Sometimes we forget and wander from him, though. They didn't understand. How had they left him? They'd been doing the same things as always. They hadn't been bad or consciously left him. But the fact was, they'd not been aware enough of him, where he was. They'd taken their eyes off him. Perhaps got carried away with the other things and distracted by the task of what they were doing, involved with other people. They hadn't been walking with him, doing all the same things, but without him. There's a danger here with church as well, isn't there? That even in church, we can do that. We can do all the same things. We can have the services. We can do the events and the activities and the weekly groups and go on. We can be doing it all because we're familiar with it all. But we can be doing it without him. It's so important that we all reflect on this personally and as a church as well. that we're not walking without Jesus, but in everything that we do, we're walking with him. And then we finish the story off. Then he went down to Nazareth with them, and he was obedient to them. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And Jesus grew in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. They took Jesus with them. They walked with him again. And he was a blessing to them. They learned to treasure all these things. They learned they needed to walk with Jesus continually. And we need to learn that too. We need to treasure those times that we have with him and learn how much better it is and pain-free and anxious-free when we walk with Jesus and keep our trust in him. Even though times may be difficult, to keep him as the rock on which we build our life and constantly walk with him. Now, at times, we all take our eyes off Jesus. We're not really walking with him at times. And we need to think back to a time when that happens, that we were close to him. We need to say sorry, and we need to start walking with him again. If you realize that you strayed a bit from Jesus today, and you want to walk close with him again, then as we come to communion together now, this is an opportunity for you to recommit to that journey with Jesus. Let's make sure anyway that all of us, as we come to share communion together and walking with him, and that as a church, we seek to continue to do that. Let's pray. Lord, I would ask that you would help us to do that. Help us all to keep our eyes fixed on you, not to lose sight of you, and to walk with you daily. And help us as a church to make sure, in the busyness of all activity and the other things that go on, that we truly do have you in our sight at all times and are walking with you through all things. For those that have strayed from the path, those with us today here on this Zoom service, and those not here today, maybe because of that, in some cases, because they've strayed, then Lord, we would ask that you would help each of us and them to turn again, to seek you and to find you, to take your hand and walk with you. And may that even be so for people right now this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.